you want to send me a text message, 1-800-465-8770 is the way to do it. 1-800-465-8770. There is a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So the Department of Homeland Security is backing away from a plan because people who are always upset were, wait for it, upset. There's a controversy where there shouldn't have been. You see, DHS wanted to use facial recognition technology for American citizens who were traveling overseas. So when you go out, when you come back in, they have to go through facial recognition technology. Privacy activists were outraged. That is their default position. They are all always, always, always outraged. We're talking about angry Luddites. Edward Hasbrouck is a privacy advocate. This is what he told the Associated Press. And I want you, as I'm telling you this quote, I want you to think about the last time you went to the airport. Not even just traveling overseas. Push that aside. Just literally went to the airport. Let's say you were taking a flight over to Spokane. Okay, this is his quote. Was this a trial balloon to find out whether the DHS had finally reached the limits of our willingness to be treated like criminals whenever we fly? Okay. That's treating you like a criminal, having you go through facial recognition technology? Let's just go over for a moment what happens when you go to SeaTac or any airport. You have to show your ID. Why do they do that? Because they want to make sure you're the actual person who's got the ticket. That's you being treated as a potential person who stole that ticket and should not have it. It's number one. Then you go in, you take out what, your belt, your shoes, you take out that laptop, you take out all of those liquids. Why? Because they want to make sure you don't have any weapons on you or bomb-making material. Almost as if you were, wait for it, a criminal. Then you go through and you either get frisked, you bat it down, or you go through the x-ray machine. You have your baggage go through the x-ray machine in the background. You've got the dog who sniffs out bombs. And weed.
And drugs, yes.
I mean,
don't just limit it to weed. People take more than just weed through airports.
Pothead canines. The entire time you're being technically treated like a quote-unquote criminal. And yes, some people complain about it, right? People like this person complain about it. But most of us understand that, you know what? This is what we're willing to do because of 9/11. Now, yes, there are some people who are weary about it. Oh, don't you remember the days before 9/11 when you can just freely go past security and security wasn't even secure? Don't you wish we can go back to those days? No, because people took control of a plane and flew it into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Another plane was headed to DC. So no, I don't wish we went back to those days. I wish we didn't have terrorists, but unfortunately we do.
It's a good wish.
Fortunately we do, though. And you know what? If you're willing to go through all that other stuff, putting your face in front of a stupid camera for 4 seconds upon re-entry into this country, I'm okay with that. You're already giving up all of these things. The funny thing is, they say private, this is from the AP, privacy experts have questioned the accuracy of facial recognition and warned that personal information could be vulnerable to hackers or used improperly by companies holding the data. Okay. Right now, some of us, myself included, I have an app. It's called My TSA. It allows me to take a selfie on the plane, input my passport information so that I don't have to wait at the border. I could literally just walk through.
Yes, I have that too.
Yeah. People are willingly doing that, yes?
Yes.
That could be hacked. Oh, but Jason, fine, it can be, but that's your choice. I don't want to have to do it. Okay, fair enough. Some of you have your tickets on your phone. Most of you do. You're choosing to do it that way. You're scanning it, right?
Well, again, you know, that's a choice. I mean, I guess it could be hacked.
I mean, there's so everything can be hacked. Everything can be hacked. They're not hacking it. They're not going after it. Please, guys, stop. But these are people who are always upset. Always upset. Always angry. Always looking for a fight. And they pretend that they stand with everybody else. They pretend that they represent you. No, they don't. I've never heard any normal person take the crazy positions these folks do. You know how I know that? And what I love is when I get an email or a text message or a Facebook note coming from one of these idiots who want to tell me about how they care about privacy. while emailing me from their Gmail account or sending me a note on Twitter.
Yeah, the people who are so worried about privacy, I expect them to always, you know, like, no phones, no social media, yes, no nothing, no digital footprint whatsoever. And yet that's where they're the most active, is Twitter.
We have decided as a society that we're willing to give up some of that so-called privacy so we can have a free email account or a free Facebook page or a free Instagram, which, by the way, I'm on Instagram under Jason Rantz. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So Joe Biden's on the campaign trail. He's doing interviews. He did one with Jose Diaz-Balart, and they were talking about immigration, illegal immigration, and health care. Now, Diaz-Balart is a progressive activist that masquerades as a reporter. And he wanted to just make sure he understood the vice president's position. He wanted to make sure that illegal immigrants would get coverage, health care coverage, health insurance coverage, under whatever plan that Biden backs. Now, Biden knows that's what Diaz-Balart is trying to get, so he wants to appease him. Unfortunately, I have no idea what is said in these 30 seconds of audio.
Under your plan, would the 11, 12 million undocumented immigrants that live in the United States, that have been here many for generations, would they have access,
yes,
to health insurance?
Yes, if they can buy into the system like everybody else, that's like
they can. With ACA, they can.
Yeah, I know. Well, they can. That's my point. They continue to be able to do that.
They cannot.
Wait,
under
huh?
the Obamacare.
Well, that's my point. They will, though. They will. They will be able to buy into, just like.
Okay. I'm not being dishonest. I honestly don't know what he's saying.
Look, they can and they will be able to now.
But they can't now.
But they can now and they will be able to then.
No, under ACA, they can't.
No, but they can. I know.
No, you know that they can't.
I know that they can and they will now with my new plan.
But they can't under the old plan, right?
But they can right now.
No, I know, but the ACA.
In the future, they can.
No, I know, but under Obamacare, they can't, right?
Yeah, they can.
Yes, they can?
Yeah, on days that end in Y, they can.
But that's every day, and right now they can't.
But they can, and they will be able to in the future.
But that's what I'm saying, they can't.
But right now they can, and then in the future, yes.
No, but you're saying that they can.
No malarkey. No, they can't.
They can't now?
No, they can, yes.
They can, yes.
Yes, they can't.
Yes, they can't?
No, they can.
No. What? I don't understand.
Me neither.
This doesn't make any sense. And it's funny because Joe Biden, who's getting hit from every other side, including, by the way, his own side, saying, like, he's kind of lost a step. He's kind of losing just a little bit. And he's always kind of been that way. But now, you know, he's 113 years old. He'd become the oldest president ever in the history of the world if he were to get elected. I get that running for president is a lot of work. I get it. You are traveling all the time. You don't know where you are half the time. You're just getting on a plane. You're trying to take these power naps, right? But you can't really do it.
He's on a bus right now, like a rock and roll band. This is no life.
This is nuts. And, you know, he's getting high out of his mind. And he's got all of the women throwing themselves at him because he's a rock star.
Yeah.
I get it, man. But this is not good enough.
No, Joe Biden peaked on Twitter like 3 years ago when Biden memes were a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, did I love Biden memes.
And now, weirdly, the Biden meme is okay boomer, and he's not a boomer.
No,
he's too old. Wait, so can they or can they not?
Yes, they can't, but they can.
Yes,
and
they can.
Can't. They can
can't.
With the future.
They can't. So under your plan, it works.
No malarkey.
You can't keep ending every sentence with no malarkey.
No malarkey. Doesn't that just, you know, get me out of anything? With all due respect, it's just like that. You know, no malarkey.
Okay, boomer. Got it. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Pierce County?
As Seattle tries to overturn the will of the people on I-976, the $30 car tab initiative, leaders in Pierce County, they're actually trying to save the overwhelmingly high amount of support for 976 in Pierce County. Their executive, Bruce Dammeyer, has a request of the Pierce County Prosecutor's Office, and he joins me now to discuss. Executive Dammeyer, thank you so much for coming on.
Good afternoon, Jason. Good to be with you.
So what are you asking of Mary Robnett?
So I'm asking Mary Robnett, in anticipation of our council action on December 10th, to start the work to prepare for Pierce County to intervene on behalf of the citizens of Pierce County with the state in defending the CARTAB Relief Initiative.
So what does that actually look like?
Well, what it would look like is if we are granted the ability to intervene, we would stand alongside the state of Washington in making the defense for the will of the people as represented in the passage of Initiative 976.
So is it just being at the table as part of the legal arguments, or is it a little bit more in depth than that?
Well, it could be many different things. It could be as little as just watching and making sure we're coaching and making sure we agree with the arguments, and that the perspectives of the people of Pierce County and the voters of Pierce County are represented in that. If for some reason we felt like our perspectives weren't adequately represented, we would make the case, and we could, in a certain circumstance, be able to make briefings and arguments of our own. But at this point, the primary reason is this is not that we feel the state is doing a bad job. This is that we think it is so important that the people of Pierce County are represented in the proceedings.
Well, there is an argument that some have that the Attorney General's office is not doing a good job in all of this, that there is a clear conflict of interest in this, since Tim Iman is the sponsor of Initiative 976, and Tim Iman is currently being sued by the state of Washington under Attorney General Bob Ferguson. So from your perspective, just personally, is Attorney General Ferguson doing a good job here?
You know, I'm not watching that closely, and I'm not a legal scholar. We've got attorneys in the prosecutor's office that I expect to do that. And in this case, it's about making sure that the interests of the people of Pierce County are represented fairly.
So what's your reaction then to just the Seattle claim? I mean, it's a statewide initiative, but they're saying that their voters overwhelmingly said no to 976. Obviously, Pierce County voters said overwhelmingly yes. I mean, it seems like this is a statewide initiative. Individual counties should not have a say in all of it.
Well, in this case, it's a state law that is being imposed. That's what, you know, that's the way that we work. State law trumps local laws. And in this case, we believe that the will of the people spoken statewide should be respected. And certainly Pierce County supported that strongly. I kind of understand why King County might be doing what they're doing, but I'm trying to do exactly the same thing, making sure the people of Pierce County and their strong support is reflected in this interest.
So you've made the ask of Prosecutor Mary Robnett. What has she said?
So at this point, they are looking at the strategy, what the right approach would be to do this. And again, our county council is going to take action on December 10th at their upcoming county council meeting. That would be their official go-ahead to kind of file all the motions. What I was trying to do is, things were moving so quickly, is I wanted to give the prosecutor's office a head start, to start that preliminary work in advance of what I anticipate is the county council taking action in support of the people of Pierce County.
And so your expectation is that they're going to go all in on this, yes? They have not, there's no indication that that's going to be a close sort of fight?
There are some on the council that might not agree with it, but I do believe, I'm confident that they're going to ultimately vote in support of the will of the people of Pierce County and approve the motion to intervene.
Why do you think Pierce County voters said yes on 976?
So I think there's a couple of things that are particularly important. First of all, you have to remember, you know, I think there are folks who voted for $30 car tabs all along and they want $30 car tabs. I think there are people that have been paying the inflated car tabs associated with Sound Transit and feel that they have not seen and don't any benefit to date and don't perceive of seeing any for a long time. That is really frustrating to folks. And then I think it was all compounded by the fact that some feel and can make the case that the car tab valuations are not done fairly, that they don't adequately represent the value of the car. And it's one thing to feel you're paying high taxes. It's another thing to feel you're paying them unfairly.
Yeah. Do you believe that a valid argument can be made that the voters didn't realize what it was they were voting on?
No.
Why?
We've had it before us many times. I think the issue is very simple in that respect. I think the only issue at debate here is whether the state government and county governments and people listen to the will of the voters. That's the issue that's really in question.
So what can be done for the people who are listening to us right now, who live in Tacoma, live in Pierce County? What can they do to actually get involved in this and maybe move this along a little bit quicker?
Well, I think they can. So first of all, I think our county council is prepared to take the action necessary to intervene. So I fully anticipate that. If people wanted to send in an email and thank them for that action that they're going to take or to express their frustration, I can tell you that I have gotten hundreds of emails from Pierce County people in Pierce County who feel that they're concerned their voices are going to be subverted by court action. Mm-hmm. That's a big concern. And since we have stepped out and let them know that we intend to intervene as a county on their behalf, a lot of people have been very supportive of that. I think people being supportive of the action that I believe the county council will take on December 10th would be appreciated.
Have you heard from any, of your colleagues outside of Pierce County? Have you heard from Dave Summers over in Snohomish? Obviously, you're not going to hear anything positive from Dow Constantine in King County, but has anyone else stepped up and said, you know what, this is the right move, we might also want to do something?
I've heard from a lot of different counties are considering different things. I know that there are some folks who feel they're in an awkward position and that they may have really wanted to support the Cartabs, but the people in their jurisdiction really strongly voted to have those Cartabs reduced, that they wanted Cartab relief. So they're in kind of a sticky wicket.
Yeah, aren't they? So last question for you, just from your perspective, you've been involved in politics for a while. How did we get to this point?
I think it's frustration. And in this case, we've got one of the things that is particularly significant is the dramatic difference in the vote on Initiative 976, the Cartab Relief Initiative, between kind of King County, Pierce County, and Snohomish County. When you think it passed, as I recall, in King County, it had 41% or 42% yes. It was 58% yes in Snohomish County, I think if my numbers are correct at this point, and I do have a cold, so my brain is not functioning as well as I would have liked. But 66% in Pierce County. You're seeing a dramatic difference in perspective between King County and Snohomish and Pierce County. That's of concern, right? We have got to find a way to work together more effectively and understand that the views in Pierce County and the views in Snohomish County are fully legitimate, that this is not just about Seattle and King County imposing their will on outlying counties.
Yeah.
That on regional matters, there has got to be compromise, and they've got to understand and reflect that the people in Pierce County see the world quite differently than those in Seattle and King County.
Well, and that's what it feels like. It feels like just the underlying issue on this and so many other issues that we've been talking about, this feeling that Seattle is trying to bully their way into figuring out regional issues when it's not just Seattle that occupies this region. We've got Snohomish County. We've got Pierce County. We've got other parts of King County that are not in line with Seattle thinking, and yet it always seems like Seattle's got the bully pulpit in which they're able to deliver their results. So I'm with you. I wish you the best of luck as you fight on behalf of Pierce County voters. I hope in Snohomish they decide to do something similar. I hope the mayors in areas of King County that clearly understood the will of the people was to say yes on 976, I hope they all stand up alongside you. We've been talking with Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer. Bruce, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Rancho.
Bellingham, Bellevue, Shoreline, Tacoma.
This is The Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Olympia, Everett, Mercer Island.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. What does that mean? It means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Dr. Sean Keller and Smiles by Design. The concept is very simple to understand. The media's hyper-focus on the city of Seattle. They end up ignoring a lot of the stories that are happening in the communities you care about. So we do the opposite. We ignore Seattle and instead focus on you. And we start in Renton, where Renton City Council member Armando Pavone was just elected to mayor. He was elected to mayor while he was still on the council, which means he now needs to resign. So now the council gets to pick a replacement. But apparently it's a nerve-wracking experience. According to one council member, her name is Ruth Perez. She was appointed a term or so ago, so she kind of knows how nerve-wracking it actually is. Now, the Renton Reporter says Perez said the appointment process was long and stressful and included herself and 15 other candidates being interviewed during a broadcasted council meeting. That doesn't sound stressful or nerve-wracking at all, but okay, maybe you're not used to it. So the council decided, okay, here's what we're going to do moving forward. We are going to look at the applicant pool. We're going to pick six candidates to be interviewed during this public meeting. Each of us will get to nominate one particular potential council member. Now, the Renton Reporter says, any number of applicants will be able to apply as long as they're eligible to vote and have lived in Renton city limits for at least 6 months. The council will then have an executive session, which is not public, where they discuss the merits of different candidates. After that discussion, they will use a public council meeting to decide on candidates to be interviewed. Each council member will create a list of their top candidates and go in random order to give a nomination. This is ridiculous. Now, to be fair, Renton is not at all the only council in this state that does things this way. But it's ridiculous because it lacks transparency. It gives an incredible amount of power to the sitting council instead of to the voters. First of all, selecting a candidate themselves is always already ridiculous. But if you're nominated by one particular council member and then you end up getting the job, aren't you going to likely be beholden to them? Aren't you going to give them a little bit more deference than you otherwise would? And my assumption is, in all of these cases where the council ends up picking someone, don't you think they're going to pick the person that will cause the least amount of problems? Meaning, don't you think they're going to pick someone who kind of ideologically thinks the way they do because they don't want to have anyone being the pain in their backside the entire time? You think they're going to pick someone who's going to disagree with them the entire time? You think someone's going to come up there and say, you know what? I think you guys politically are way too far to this one side. I'm going to be the person who's on the other side. I'm going to be the check on all of your power. They're not going to pick that person at all. I don't like a process like this. You guys should have way more power. That being said, all of you who live in Renton should put your name in.
Every single person.
Every single one. And I'll tell you how to game the system. In fact, we're going to cheat for you. I will offer my services for free.
Wow.
I don't normally do that.
I do nothing for free.
Nope. I like how we said it at the exact same time. Because it's true. I don't do anything
for free. It is true.
I will do this for free. If you live within the Renton city limits, and you've been there for at least 6 months, and you are eligible to vote, I want you to go ahead and send me an email. You can go to ktth.com. You put in your application. I will help write it for you. I will tell you exactly what you need to say and do in order to get this job. However, once you're in power, I'm expecting to have access to you. I know Renton City Council's got a lot of power in Washington State. If I ever get a ticket in the city of Renton, if I ever get a speeding ticket, a parking ticket because I'm going over to IKEA or something, I'm calling in that favor.
So now I'm curious, because I have a Renton zip code, even though I live in Newcastle, and I'm wondering where the city limits...
I don't know where the city limits are.
I'm looking it up.
You should check it out.
I am.
Because you've lived there for at least 6 months. I don't think Newcastle counts, but I mean, double check. I'd be kind of curious about that. Because that would be great, then we'll get you in. I don't know, they could do a quick check and it would be very clearly tied to me, so it might have to be someone in the audience from Renton. And I know we got a lot of listeners in Renton.
I like our Renton people. They're like me.
I love Renton. Meanwhile, a pair of dumbasses are in jail for a theft at a Starbucks in Sunnyside and then at a bank also in Sunnyside. They stole about $750 worth of Starbucks mugs. Now, I double checked. I went to two different sources. Not $750 of merchandise that might include mugs, but it flat out said $750 worth of mugs. I know mugs at Starbucks can be expensive. They're not that expensive. How many mugs did you steal, and how exactly did you get them out of the door? They say she stole them and then fled on foot.
What?
So I don't understand how that's possible.
Unless these mugs are like $75 a piece.
Right?
Maybe, no shot.
And maybe I've not been to a Sunnyside Starbucks. Maybe they get a really high end. But I'm assuming not. I didn't even think there were $750 worth of mugs out on display at your average Starbucks, but apparently they were. Somehow she managed to steal them and then run out on foot. That's how she fled. Cops find her at some other point walking through town with some random dude. Now, the dude didn't do anything wrong, so they just arrested her. However, that dude would go ahead and do something wrong. He then goes up to some woman coming out of a bank. He robs money from her that he wanted to use to pay off the bail for his friend who was arrested for stealing the mugs. He gets caught. He gets arrested. Here's my hot take. Shouldn't we just let these two rot in jail? I know they didn't kill anybody. I know they didn't hurt anybody. But there just comes to a point where you can look at someone and their actions and just say, God bless you. You offer no redeeming qualities to society. There's nothing that you will ever do in your lifetime that's going to benefit anybody else in your community, in your state, in your country. We're just going to throw you in jail and keep you there forever.
Yeah, I don't
can't
think
we just make that
it's not a terrible
rule.
Idea.
I know it goes against our values, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes values are overrated. Sometimes you just need to let people rot in jail. And I feel like these are the types of people to do that. You keep in there the child molesters, the rapists, the murderers, and the people who steal $750 worth of mugs at the local Starbucks and then steal some cash from somebody to bail the woman out.
Okay. I can see that.
If you're down with that, send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. Finally, Tacoma's Hilltop neighborhood is getting a tiny home village. It is expanding, but neighbors are worried about security. Neighbors should be. Robert Klein is a neighbor. He spoke with Q13. He says, right now, overnight, things are getting pretty crazy at this homeless encampment.
The stuff that goes on over here at night, I mean, there's yelling and screaming and people cussing each other out, threatening each other. It's pretty crazy. I mean, we've had break-ins throughout the neighborhood all the way down to Sprague, people coming in, busting into houses, getting money, and they're running back to the homeless camp.
Michael Bingham, also in a very similar position. He lives very close by. In fact, it appears that his yard connects with this homeless encampment.
Last 5-6 years, we put up with more and more of these tents. We've got to stop. We have to literally, you know, hold these people accountable. You know, I'm sorry you're homeless, but that does not mean you're not accountable to society and society's laws. You do not have the right to do whatever you want and say, oh, I'm homeless, poor me. Until we accomplish that, we don't have any place for these people to afford to live, then we're going to have to put up with this.
Well, I mean, he's sort of sending two mixed messages, but I like the first part of his message, which is absolutely true. Just because you're homeless doesn't mean that you don't have to follow any rules, unless you live in the city we don't talk about. And that's why these types of stories happening in Tacoma are so important for us to cover. Right now, you guys are at a crossroads in Tacoma. You are. You have to decide whether or not, when dealing with a homelessness crisis, are you going to do things the way Seattle has done things? Or are you going to do things the way that Snohomish County as a whole generally has done things? Meaning, are you going to allow people to do whatever it is they want to do without any consequences and then watch as the situation gets worse and worse and worse? Or are you going to set it up from the beginning, very clearly telling people who are living out on the streets that if you're going to violate our goodwill, if you're going to take for granted our graciousness, if you're going to violate the law, then understand very quickly, we're not going to be so helpful. We're not going to be so gracious. You're going to suffer some consequences. You guys are going to have to pick a lane. I'd prefer you pick the lane that Snohomish County has gone down. Meaning people who are living out on the street, who are violating the law, giving them two avenues to go down. Number one, jail, or number two, help. We will give you the help. We would prefer that you ask us to get help. We will happily pay for that help. But if you don't want it, we're going to throw you in jail and we're going to hassle you. And right now, I suspect and I fear that Tacoma is going to try to just say, eh, do your thing. Social justice. That's going to be to the detriment of Tacoma. And that's for you guys who live in Tacoma to start speaking up, contacting Mayor Victoria Woodard, contacting whomever is your council member, and making sure that they know what you expect them to do when it comes to homelessness. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Thank you so much for tuning in. A lot of kids were in downtown Seattle this afternoon. A bunch of truants. They walked out of class, all to support climate change policies.
Hey, hey, you, we deserve a future too. Hey, hey, you, we deserve a future too. Hey, hey,
is that it?
You,
are they going to switch it up?
We deserve a future too.
Oh my God, they just did that for 4 hours. That's all they did. Dozens of students marched to City Hall. They demanded that politicians and voters go ahead and support policies to go after global climate change, in particular the Green New Deal.
The Earth doesn't have time to wait for a few more elections. This election is 0 hour. Like this election,
she's the Earth Whisperer.
Election is it, and the people who will be in power in this election will be the ones who decide the trajectory of the United States.
Okay. I mean, that's an interesting way to put it, because let's say the United States immediately adopted the new Green Deal, immediately, right now, and everything happened at the exact same time. Everyone's habits changed right now. It would not change the trajectory of the world at all, because you still have right now countries that are doing way worse than us, including China and India. So this whole idea that if we don't enact the new Green Deal and others right this second, we're doomed, then we're already doomed. We're already doomed. Or we shouldn't be listening to 16, 17, and 18-year-old kids who've been propagandized by crazy people like AOC and Bernie Sanders, who are not driven by anything but their ideology. They're not pushing specific pro-climate policies. They're pushing anti-capitalist policies that just so happen to be about the environment. That's what this is really about. And they've used people like this. Jamie Margolin scared her, freaked her out. She's a senior at Holy Names Academy, freaking her out and freaking out others. So they go ahead and do things like this.
What do we want?
Action!
What do we want it now?
Okay. Right now, I mean, the election isn't even until November 2020. So you're going to have to wait at least 11 months. So everyone calm down. Any more chanting?
Hey, hey.
Oh, my
ho,
God.
Ho. Fossil fuels have got to go.
Hey, hey. Ho, ho. Fossil fuels have got to go. Hey, hey.
Hey, guys.
Ho, ho.
Let's switch it up.
Fossil fuels have got
I can't.
To go.
I'm getting corny
hey,
the lyrics.
Ho, ho. Fossil fuels have got to go.
Did you hear that, like, tractor in the background just getting in on it? Or?
It was. I don't know if that was just, if that was part of it or it was just construction. Because there's a whole bunch of construction going on in Seattle right now. I don't know if that was intentional. But let's, like, you know, flip the lyrics around a little bit. Don't do the same one for an hour and a half. Now, at the same time in D.C., they had their own little thing. Lunatics decided to block traffic again, all in the name of the environment. Getting people to idle in their cars, which doesn't seem like the best thing to do for the environment. One dude got caught in the, it's not a parade, I guess. I don't know what the circus, I guess. And he's in his car and he interacted with one of the dudes who was part of the protest, and Breitbart happened to be there and asked him some questions. First, some chanting.
We need that carbon in the soil. No more gas.
A bad strategy for y'all.
What strategy would you suggest?
Not making me burn more gas by sitting here.
We're trying to
call. I could. I don't know how long this is going to take.
Oh, we're going to be here a while. It's going to be all day, sir. It's for the climate.
Oh, it's for the climate, sir. We don't care about what you have to do. Oh, you got to get to your kid who's in the hospital dealing with cancer. We don't care. You know what? To be fair, even if that kid makes a miraculous recovery, he's probably going to die anyway because the planet is dying.
I'm here until the planet's gone. All right, man.
It's a bad strategy.
You want to tell me how you feel about this?
Right, Mark. Yeah, climate change is an existential threat. 100% agree. If we don't solve that problem, then nothing else matters. This is, I don't think, an effective strategy to raise awareness. That's all I'm saying. I am 100% behind these guys, except this tactic is not super.
They're alienating folks on their side. That seems to be the wrong tactical move. I've said that when it's happened here in Seattle, where you got a whole bunch of lunatics deciding to close down downtown Seattle in the middle of rush hour in the afternoon. That's not how you get people on your side. That's how you push people away. That's the exact way to lose an argument. You're not convincing anyone to get on board at all. Someone who's on the fence doesn't get moved by things like this. They get pushed aside. So not only are you not winning the exact people you have to win, but you're not keeping the people who are already on your side. Now, there was a moment today that the president was asked about climate change and efficiencies as it has to do with the energy consumption in this country. He made, I think, the funniest comment I think I've ever heard from him.
Ever?
This goes down as one of my best minute of audio.
And we're doing other things. The light bulb. They got rid of the light bulb that people got used to. The new bulb is many times more expensive. And I hate to say it, it doesn't make you look as good. Of course, being a vain person, that's very important to me. It's like, it gives you an orange look. I don't want an orange look. Has anyone noticed that? So we'll have to change those bulbs at least a couple of rooms where I am in the White House. But we're going back to the to double standard. We have a standard of the new bulbs.
Okay, we don't need to go over the double standard. That was funny. Come on.
No, it is funny.
It's charming. I like it when he does
that. He's just another guy when he does things like that. It's great.
I think it's so relatable when he says that. I mean, I can't relate to it because I look good in all light. But still, it was a very good and relatable moment from the president. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text message, 1-800-465-8770. Still got a lot to get to right here on AM 770 KTTH.